Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
The truth is, I cut taxes as mayor of Richmond. I'll enforce the death penalty as governor, and I'm against same-sex marriage. I'm conservative on personal responsibility, character, family, and the sanctity of life. These are my values, and that's what I believe. Paid for and authorized by Kane for Governor.
That's an ad during Tim Kaine's 2005 Virginia gubernatorial campaign. Back then, he wanted to be known as a pro-life Democrat. Well, now he is the candidate for vice president in the Democratic Party, and his position has changed a bit. Now he is personally opposed to abortion, but he wouldn't want to stop anyone from a very, very common view in the Democratic Party and elsewhere. What has the abandonment of pro-life sensibilities done to the Democratic Party, and what does its new platform have to say about those very things? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon, July the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Kristen Day of Democrats for Life will be our guest here for the first few minutes of the program. Then we'll be doing our series Top 3 Verses on the Resurrection of All Flesh. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be our guest. We'll round off today's Issues Etc. talking with Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute about Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Kaine on abortion. Joining us to talk about the Democratic Party platform on abortion, Kristen Day. She's a regular guest. She's executive director of Democrats for Life. She's co-authored an op-ed in today's Los Angeles Times titled How the Democratic Platform Betrays Millions of the Party Faithful. And she joins us from Philadelphia. Kristen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you so much for having me on again.
As a case study, Kristen, I'm wondering about Hillary Clinton's running mate, Tim Kaine. Is he a case study in what's wrong with the Democratic Party on abortion? Early in his political career, he supported the Hyde Amendment. He supported parental notification and consent, a ban on partial birth abortion, and fought for informed consent laws. And as a national candidate, he's become one of those I'm personally opposed, but Democrats.
Right. We see that. It's been happening for some time now where when a pro-life Democrat wants to run for higher office, they feel tremendous pressure to change their position on the issue. And Tim Kaine was up for vice president in 2008. People were looking at him, but I think his pro-life position probably at that point held him back a little bit. So that could be part of the reason why he maybe changed his position. And we worked with him on quite a number of issues when he was governor, when he was in DNC chair. So I do believe that he is pro-life. I do believe that his personal position is that. It's unfortunate that he felt that he needed to change it. And it's important that he did to become the nominee for vice president. It's a weakness that the Democratic Party has on this issue, and it's causing tremendous losses throughout the country to have such a closed position on this issue. When you look at state legislative bodies throughout the country, 66 out of 99 are held by Republicans. Now, there's only one Democratic governor in the South, and that's Governor John Bel Edwards, who I believe is the future of the Democratic Party, somebody who is whole life, somebody who, when he was elected, he signed Medicaid expansion into law, and then he also signed a 72-hour waiting period for abortion. And, you know, it's that kind of Democrat who is going to help us grow, not shrink, as we are doing right now.
I want to come back to Edwards in a few minutes, but explain to our listeners how the Democratic abortion plank and its platform in 2016 is different from previous years.
It's different in that, you know, it has a litmus test for judges saying that you cannot elect, we don't want to elect a pro-life judge. So even if there's a well-qualified Democrat who has, who is well qualified for the bench, the Democrats said that we should not appoint someone like that if they have a pro-life position. It says that we want to pay for abortion with taxpayer funds at home and abroad by repealing the Hyde and the Helms, and also repeal any reasonable restrictions on abortion, reasonable regulations. with, say, waiting periods or safety regulations to make sure that the clinics are following the safety protocols to ensure that abortions are safe. So it's a real different from previous platforms in that there's not a whole lot of room for somebody who is pro-life to find something in there.
Explain the Hyde and the Helm amendments, why they're so important to pro-lifers.
Well, so the Hyde Amendment basically says it was signed to, with a bipartisan agreement that we will not pay for abortions with taxpayer funds. And part of the reason why the Affordable Care Act was signed into law was because the pro-life Democrats insisted that the Hyde language be in there. And that's how there were enough votes to pass the Affordable Care Act. And the president, in fact, signed an executive order stressing that no funds will be used for abortion. And so the Helms Amendment is similar in that, but it deals with spending money overseas and saying that we will not spend any tax dollars to promote or perform abortion overseas, which is pretty reasonable.
What are your specific concerns when it comes to the Democratic platform on abortion and religious liberty?
That's with the abortion issue in the platform. What happens is even in pro-life Democrats who are running in seats, when they'll be running as pro-life Democrat, that's what their positions are, but they'll be tied to the platform language, and it will hurt the party in electing even a pro-life Democrat in those issues. So we're leading to fewer seats rather than growing the party.
Talk a little bit about the Democratic candidate for presidency, even though it's not completely official. It will be by the end of the week, Hillary Clinton. Talk about her quote-unquote evolution on this issue as a Democratic candidate.
Yeah, I think it's a real shame the way I was watching a videotape of her in 2008, and what she was saying there made so much sense, and it was about common ground and working together to safe, legal, and rare. And I think we all remember when she said, "When I mean rare, when I say rare, I mean rare." And we've moved so far away from that as a party with the the I Heart Abortion T-shirts and almost a celebration of abortion when it's really a tragedy for both the child and the mother. And, not everybody has an abortion and feels great and says it's a wonderful thing. So, we really need to really focus around support and looking at ways to support families and the right to have a child, not the right to have an abortion.
If not the personal, can you determine some kind of the political motivation for going from someone who would say, "When I say rare, I mean rare," to the positions that Hillary Clinton has been articulating of late, especially after the exposure of Planned Parenthood's illegal activities with regard to fetal body parts?
Well, I think the abortion lobby is really, really strong, unfortunately. And, and their ability to raise money and to, get behind candidates is a lot stronger than the pro-life movement, particularly within the Democratic parties, and the pro-life movement doesn't really spend a whole lot of money to elect pro-life Democrats. So, I think it does come down to the fundraising and the money, and to be a pro-choice candidate, to get that, you have to take that position to get that machine behind you.
In your opinion, does the pro-life movement need to spend more to elect, or at least to push forward, pro-life Democrats?
Yeah. I think the pro-life movement needs to moderate their position a little bit as well. And because even here today, I have to say, we're not the right-wing pro-life movement. We support women. We're compassionate. We care about women. And I think that's kind of missing from a lot of the media reports and the messaging that we're getting out there, the pro-life movement. And so I have spent two weekends in Texas with some just amazing pro-life feminist women. I feel like this is the future of what our movement needs to look like, is these women are on the ground helping other women, helping families, helping women, pregnant women who otherwise would seek abortion, but providing the support necessary, during the pregnancy and beyond, free health clinics that are popping up to help through the pregnancy process and making sure that they have jobs to support their families. And I feel like this more compassionate side of the movement needs to really be focused on more. The 20-week bans are good, and I think they're necessary, but let's try to focus also on the support side of things, and I think that will help the pro-life movement tremendously.
You say in your editorial for the LA Times that if you look at American abortion law, it looks positively radical compared to even European laws there. What do you mean by that?
Right. So in most European countries, they have they ban abortion after 12 weeks. So the fact that we allow abortion up till the ninth month, that does look pretty radical.
You spoke earlier about John Bel Edwards, who's the Democratic governor of Louisiana. You said he, in some ways, epitomizes the future of the pro-life Democrat. What about him does that for you?
Well, I think he's the future of the Democratic Party. If we don't have the room to grow right now if we follow our platform language and say that we want to pay for abortions and that's our messaging. You know, the future is more somebody like a John Bel Edwards who yes, he's pro-life, but he's also pro-support. And that's what Democrats do believe, that we want to support those who need assistance. We want to be there. And, you know, the programs that will help women carry their babies to term or health care or, you know, if a hourly worker gets pregnant, you know, the ability to take paid leave and come back to the job, those kinds of things. You know, that's what Democrats stand for, and that's what the future Democrat needs to be whole life, not just after the baby's born.
It sounds like, and tell me if I'm oversimplifying your position here, that you are arguing in your op-ed piece that increasing support for abortion without limits has politically been and will be bad for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we've seen the effects of it. We were rebuilding in 2006 and 2008. We had 255 Democrats in the U.S. House. After Obamacare, when we had the Republicans did a really fantastic job of really tying Obamacare to abortion funding, and of the 60-some Democrats who voted for the Stupak Amendment, the Hyde Amendment essentially, 88% of those seats are now in Republican hands because the majority of America does not support public funding of abortion. And when you start talking about that, people are not going to vote for those candidates, regardless of what their position actually is, because if they're tied to a party that says that we want to pay for abortions up to the ninth month, you're going to lose.
Kristen, what kind of presence will Democrats for Life have at this week's convention in Philadelphia? What kind of feedback are you getting pro and con?
So, you know, it's interesting. So we have a table set up in the convention center along with other Democratic groups, and we're getting a lot of support. Interesting. People are coming up to our table, and some agree with us, some don't, but overwhelmingly people are thanking us for being here and thanking us for our message. There are a few that aren't happy to see us here, and I think that's a handful of those. One lady in particular said that she would rather be a minority party than to include pro-life Democrats. But fortunately, I think that's the minority opinion. I think most people want the Democratic Party to be successful and grow. And I think they're understanding that if we want to do that, we really truly have to be a big tent party.
Kristen Day is executive director of Democrats for Life and co-author of an op-ed piece in today's Los Angeles Times titled "How the Democratic Platform Betrays Millions of the Party Faithful." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a link to Democrats for Life there at the same place, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. She joined us live from Philadelphia. Kristen, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much.
When we come back, we continue our series, Top Three Verses, with Pastor Brian Wolf Miller. We'll talk about the top three verses for the resurrection of all flesh.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned, Christian perspective with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.